And so I ended up picking up this pastor from the airport, and they said, hey, if you would just take him over to our pastor's house, he's going to have dinner with him. And no one said, hey, this is when you're going to need to pick him up again. So I just stayed in the car, and I was like, well, I'll just wait until they call me, right? So what I thought was going to be about an hour ended up being about 6 hours.
This is the Made to Advance podcast. I'm your host, Brian Ollick. We're here to inspire and equip you for your best future. Well, we have got an incredible guest for you today. Josh Shockey is here all the way from Detroit. He is the pastor of Motor City Church, and it is one of my all-time favorite churches in the state of Michigan. So I'm excited for this conversation today. Josh, good to have you in our studio.
Thank you so much. It's an honor, and what an intro. I appreciate it.
Well, everybody that's come on, I'm just thinking, like, literally every person, I'm like, they're an all-star. They're a hero. So I just feel like it's fantastic to have you here. And I know some things about your story, but I was thinking about things I'm going to ask you today.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know the answer to all this stuff. Okay. Like, I'm learning. It's going to be fun just to hear some of the details and all that stuff. So why don't we start just you giving us a background, a little bit of your background, like where you're from and all that good stuff. Yeah.
So I've been married for 8 years, beautiful wife, Emily, and we're both from Fort Worth, Texas. We actually met when we were in third grade.
Okay. Do you have a Texas accent?
You can pick up a little bit of twang in my voice. Okay. Yeah. So from Fort Worth, yep.
Yeah.
Still haven't dropped it for the Michigan accent. Yeah. I'm sure later on down the road that'll come. But yeah, so my wife and I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. We've been here in Michigan now for just a little over 4 years.
Okay.
And planted Motor City Church. We have three awesome little kids. We've got a 6-year-old daughter, 3-year-old daughter, and a 7-month-old son. And so it's been a full schedule. Oof, for sure.
Busy.
Yeah.
So when you guys went, like, before you moved to Michigan, what were you doing?
Yeah. So my wife and I were both on staff at an awesome church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area led by Ed Young. It's called Fellowship Church. And so there, it's actually the church my wife and I both grew up in, right? So it was really home for us. And I was serving as our Global Connections pastor, as well as our Fort Worth campus pastor.
Okay.
And so really enjoying ministry there before God called us to Detroit.
When you say Global Connections pastor, that's one of those titles that I hear and I go, it sounds awesome, and I have no idea what it means.
Yeah.
What's Global Connections
pastor?
Yeah,
what does that even mean, right? I guess it means something different at different places. But so I was overseeing like all of the connections side of things across all of our different locations. So it was one church, many different locations.
Yeah.
And so leading the team at each campus that was leading out with connections and following up with guests and sports ministry, men's and women's ministries, events and things like that. And so
global wasn't meaning international. It was meaning global, meaning church-wide.
Exactly, church-wide.
I gotcha. Yeah. So you're doing that while campus, being a campus pastor.
While campus pastor of our downtown Fort Worth location.
That's a cool mix because it's like you're not just the guy over all the folks doing the stuff, like you're in the trenches and you're leading and coaching those who are doing similar things. So.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure we'll get into some of this, but like as I look back on our story, I really see like how the roles that I was doing there really equipped me for like what we're doing here now with launching and, you know, leading Motor City Church.
How long had you been in ministry while you were in Texas, like before you got here? How long?
Yeah, so a little bit of the backstory. My wife and I grew up at Fellowship Church, and so I had the opportunity to play a couple of years of college basketball, and while I was doing that, they asked me to come on as an intern to help lead our student ministry at our Dallas location.
Okay.
And I thought, you know what? I'm a broke college student. You know, I don't see a future in long-term ministry.
Yeah.
I always thought I was going to go into business, but I was like, you know what? I'll help out and be a part of that. So I got into ministry through like an internship there, and God really started to call me into full-time ministry, which was a scary thought for me at the time, but really started to lean into what does that look like. Mm-hmm. And so I had the opportunity to sign another scholarship to a university in San Antonio. Long story short, prior to going to that university, ended up turning down the scholarship and took a position as a student pastor at our church there at Fellowship. So
that's a cool story. So really, I mean, some people have this, and this would be more my story. I mean, I was planning on heading towards business, but then I had it was like practically lightning bolt moment where I was like, you're called to ministry.
I have that moment as well.
Oh, you did have that.
I did. And I tried, you know what? I was like Jonah. I was like trying to run from this.
Yeah.
You know? So I remember there was a moment where our senior pastor was Pastor Ed. He was preaching.
Yeah.
And at the end of the sermon, I had grown up in this church, right? So when he said something like, "Hey, I don't normally do this," I knew that was true because I've been there my whole life. And at the end of the sermon, he said, "You know, I really feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to me right now that there's someone in the room," and this is like in a room of like 5,000 people.
Yeah.
And he said, "I think there's someone in the room right now that is supposed to go into full-time ministry." And I knew that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, had been speaking to me, and was speaking to me so clearly in that moment about, you know, that being me. And I remember just clenching onto the chair going, okay, if I were to say yes to this, it's giving up everything that I've ever known, right? Giving up a scholarship and all of the things that I wanted to do with my life, right? And so I remember just clenching onto the chair going, I can't do it. And out of 5,000 people in the room, nobody stood up and went forward. And I knew that it was me. And so I spent the next year of my life.
I'm the pastor. I'm like, I said, yeah, awkward.
No, exactly. And you know, he was like, I'm pretty sure that the Lord was speaking to me. And he knew that somebody was speaking to him. And it was about me.
Because you didn't get up in the event.
I did not get up.
Nobody did. It was basically crickets for that.
It was crickets. And he said, you know, we'll let this moment go. But you know, I feel strongly that there was someone in here. Yeah. And I knew that I was being disobedient in that moment. And so I spent the next year, 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out, going, well, I'll go in with this, you know, into this as much as I want, but not fully going all in. And I knew every day I thought about ministry. And like I mentioned before, I was at a junior college playing basketball and ended up signing a scholarship to a school in San Antonio, Texas. And I remember before, this was going to be the first time that I left my home church, right? And so I remember thinking before I was about to go off to college, oh man, I'm going to be at a different church. I'm going to be able to take everything that I've learned from my church and help this new church. And, and I'm going to do all of this stuff in their student ministry and help them with all this. And one day it just hit me. I'm like, man, I'm thinking more about ministry than I am even about playing basketball or business school and all this other stuff. And I was like, man, I got to quit this. I got to quit running from the calling that God's put on my life. And during that time, our senior pastor found out that I was about to move. And so he made some phone calls and they called me and they were like, hey, we have a position as a student pastor that's opened up. And we really believe that you need to take this role. And I knew in my heart that that was what I was supposed to do. So through conversation with some mentors, I was like, okay, God, like you win. Yeah. I'm done running from this calling. I'm going to really pursue this and do what you've called me to do. And so that's when I went into full-time ministry. And then shortly after that, my wife, she was in full-time ministry there as well. And then we got married and
we're
leading a student ministry.
Wow.
There,
so when you, okay, I'm just trying to get the timeline straight.
Yeah.
So when you were serving, before you moved, when you were serving, were you starting to think about ministry then? Prior to the, I'm talking prior to the call, the big call moment, like when he preached and nobody came forward and all that.
Yeah.
Were you already starting to think, oh, maybe, or were you just serving and you're like, I really love this, but I'm going into the business side of things?
Yeah, I knew that I loved it. And I always just thought, you know, I'll do that in addition to the things that I want to do.
Sure.
Right. And in that moment, that's when I, you know, God really spoke to me. No, this is what I have for you. Right. You got to give up all of the other things that you want to do the thing that I'm calling you to.
Wow, that's
and
good.
So, yeah, I had been, you know, faithfully serving, you know, within the internship and had the opportunity to preach and do all of that and was really enjoying it. I just thought, okay, I'm going to go keep doing what I'm doing and I'll give God, you know, some time as well in serving, you know, but God had other plans for us.
It's really cool. I mean, just part of, to me, you know, the whole idea of our show is really trying to help people move forward. And part of that is hearing calling, discerning calling.
Right.
And so you've got, on the one hand, you've got this passion that, hey, I really enjoy ministry.
Yes.
I really get into this.
Yes.
You're not thinking, and I would say my journey was real similar where I'm doing ministry all the time.
Right.
I dig it, love it.
Yes.
And I'm full on headed towards the business track. I mean, I went to a business school. I'm getting all ready for it. So it was, I mean, it's strikingly similar as far as still having a moment where it was like where God said,
right,
you need to release all the business. I had a week's worth of interviews lined up, like the first, we were on our senior year in college, and I had, the next week was loaded with interviews. And just since God was saying, cancel all your interviews, I'm calling you into ministry, and you're supposed to go to seminary, which was good because I had no idea what I didn't know about the Bible at that time.
Man, it's one thing to discern that voice. It's another thing then to be obedient to
it. And step in fully. Did you find that once you did say, okay, I'm moving in that direction, was there much of a, I have to grieve the loss or release these things that I thought I was going to do, but now I'm not? Or was it like, nope, I know what my path is and you know, everything's kind of in the rearview mirror. I'm not even thinking about it anymore.
Yeah, I think it was more of that, you know. I think the moment that, you know, I fully committed, was like, okay, I'm going to follow this calling that God's put on my life. That's when I really started to sense a lot of the peace.
Yeah.
And, you know, God began to just grace me for where I was, you know. And so
that's cool.
I didn't fully get that until I made the step of faith and go, okay, let's do this. I'm going all in.
Yeah. And again, like you were saying earlier, people are affirming you and giving you opportunities, which is right. Just those other kinds of nudges from the Holy Spirit on saying,
right.
Hey, there's something here.
Right.
So you you served then, again, I'm just thinking of the Texas run here. You were in ministry, like vocationally, for how long in Texas?
Oh, gosh. I guess 6 years, something 6 years, like that, okay. Before moving here. Yeah.
So take me through the, not, we'll get to the point where you're actually like moving, but take me through how is one serving in Texas in the roles that you were serving, and all of a sudden you go, I know what it is, Detroit. I mean, how do you get to that?
Yeah.
How's that happen even?
Yeah. So my wife and I were faithfully serving in student ministry. I was a student pastor there at our main location in at Fellowship. And we did that for several years, right? And then July 2nd of 2017, it wasn't like I heard the audible voice of God. Never heard the audible voice of God, but you know how it is when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And there are certain times where you just know that the Holy Spirit spoke to you. And so July 2nd, 2017 is when God put the vision and calling on my heart to move from Fort Worth to Detroit to plant a church, right? And so—
what'd that look like? Like, how's that happen?
So I was still in student ministry at the time, and every summer we would take hundreds of students to a camp that our church owned, and so we'd go a full week with a certain set of hundreds of students, then they'd go home, and then we'd have another week. So we did that 6 weeks in a row. Whew. And it was it was such a grind, right?
And
so I remember at the end of this 6 weeks, I got a phone call from our pastor's assistant, and he said, hey, we have a guest preacher that's coming into town this weekend, and Pastor Ed, our senior pastor, he would like for you to be the one to host him, right? And I knew the pastor, and a pretty well-known guy. So I was kind of excited about that, but I was also a little bit mad because I'm like, I'm ready to go home.
you know,
been out at camp for 6 weeks and working, you know, nonstop and doing that. And so if I'm just being completely transparent, I was a little bit frustrated and mad about the whole situation. And so I ended up picking up this pastor from the airport, and they said, hey, if you would just take him over to our pastor's house, he's going to have dinner with him. And no one said, hey, this is when you're going to need to pick him up again. So I just stayed in the car, and I was like, well, I'll just wait until they call me, right? So what I thought was going to be about an hour ended up being about 6 hours in the car.
You're in the car?
In the car for 6 hours. And I remember in this moment, I'm a little bit mad, you know, like at God, like, come on, God, like I was just faithfully serving you. And now here I am just stuck in a car.
And I just want to go home.
And when I tell you, the Holy Spirit spoke to me so clearly, Josh, I've been trying to talk to you about something, but you haven't sat still long enough for me to speak to you.
Mm.
And I was just like, whoa. And so I just sat still for a moment. And that's the moment in that car where God really began to put this vision and calling on my life of Detroit, Michigan, to plant a church. Up until that moment, my wife and I, we thought that we were going to be at Fellowship Church forever.
Huh.
We loved it. It's still to this day, all of our family is still a part of the church. And everyone that we had ever grown up with was a part of that church, right? And so I had never thought about planting a church. Didn't even really know what that entailed, right? And so in that moment, I was just like, wow, okay, God. And if this is you, I'm going to need you to show me a sign, right? And I'm not that guy, right? When God speaks, I'm like, okay, God, let me be obedient to this, right? But I remember in that moment, I was just like, okay, God, like if this is really you speaking to me, because this is so scary to me, like because I feel like I'm hearing you so clearly, but would you show me a sign? And as I was just sitting there, I had like this pastor that was preaching kind of in the background as in the car. And this pastor was making a point, and he said, if God calls you somewhere, you go. And my ears kind of perked up because I'm just having this conversation with God. I'm like, okay, hold up. And this pastor was just making this point, and he said, and he just started saying, if God called you to the stars, then you go. And I remember I'm looking out of the car, and you know how like a plane, how they'll draw, like there's like some of those planes that will draw stuff in the sky.
Sure.
So as I'm hearing this, as he's saying, if God called you to the stars, you go. I'm saying, God, would you show me a sign? Literally, there's a plane drawing a star in the sky. Kidding. I took a photo of it and, and have it on my phone this day. I look back regularly, just remind me of that moment that I had with God. But it was just so clear, you know, God speaking to me. And so I remember after I picked up that pastor and took him back to the hotel and all of that, going back and speaking to my wife about this, and she's like, whoa, like absolutely not, right?
Because you guys hadn't been talking about
this was just out of nowhere, right? Okay. And so caught her off guard as it caught me off guard, right? And so in that season, I really just shared this with a couple of people, right? So I spoke to my father about that, who's a spiritual mentor of mine as well, and talked to my twin brother and my wife, of course. And we just started praying, okay, God, if this is really you speaking to me about this, like, would you just reveal it to some others, right? And so we started doing that. And then shortly after that time, I hadn't yet spoke to our senior pastor about this. I get called into a staff meeting, and they were like, hey, we're going to change your role. You're no longer going to be in student ministry. We're going to have you oversee and lead our Global Connections ministry. And, you know, like I said before, it's like leading, like at the time, I think 13 different campuses and all the different campus connections pastors there and all this. Mm-hmm. And I was 25 at the time, right? And I'm looking at this team that they just put me over, and looking at the team going, whoa, like a lot of the pastors and stuff that are on this team, like they know me since I was a child, right? Yeah, and now I'm here stepping in and this leadership role and doing all of this. And looking back now, you know, I see how God was using that moment in that position to train me and prepare me and equip me for what he had prepared for us here, right? And so at the time, I knew that God had called us to Detroit, but I didn't feel like God had was sending us just yet. He was just preparing our hearts for that, right? And so I spent about a year or so in that role as our Global Connections pastor. And then I got called into another meeting, and they said, hey, we're going to have you become our Fort Worth campus pastor. And I was like, great. You know, I love that location. Grew up at that location. And so like, it was such an honor, right, that they would say, hey, we want to have you lead that. And I said, hey, who's going to be leading our Global Connections ministry now? And they said, no, you're going to do both. And so... to like full-time roles. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? Right. But once again, as I look back on my story, I see how God was really preparing me and equipping me for that role. And I remember at the time, as I stepped in, I think that campus had about 11 staff members. Right. And, within the first 3 weeks that I was there, it dwindled down to three, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Kidding.
There were some people that stepped out for various reasons.
Okay. Not related to you necessarily.
Not related to me. I would hope not, you know? No.
Jeez,
no,
but, 11 to three though. That's nuts. So you end up having a hire right off the bat.
I wish. Right. So I remember at the time I said, hey, you know, our staff has dwindled down to this. And I said, hey, could I hire some new staff at this location? And they said, no. And so for the next year and a half, we led that location with well over 1,000 people with three staff members.
And
so once again, I genuinely believe that God did this for a reason, right? Because he knew what he was calling me to. And he knew that when I got to Detroit, we weren't going to have a staff. So it's like, how do you lead a church through volunteer leaders, you know? And so God was really equipping me and preparing me in that season for different things that I needed to know, such as like, how do you oversee a budget? How do you oversee staff and all of these different things? And so as I look back now, you know, it's always those moments where you're going, why am I going through this, right?
Yeah.
But if you'll lean into them, you know, you'll get to see down the road, if you continue to be obedient to what God's calling you to, you get to see how he'll use those moments to prepare you for what he's calling you to next.
Yeah, it's such a good word. And I think so many times when something feels clearly like a setback or something that we don't want to do, don't like to do, whatever, we immediately put it in the bucket of this is an obstacle, this is a waste of time, this is it's just getting in my way, it's slowing me down, et cetera. And it is crazy. I was just thinking about this yesterday when we first moved to Chicago. We had had an apartment lined up, and we get there to sign, I think it was like the day you had to give them a deposit check maybe and sign the paperwork and whatnot. And I mean, it was shortly after that we were supposed to actually move in. We were dirt poor at that point. We had a dog, which all of a sudden the list of apartments that'll even like receive you like that. So we drive to this place and we're like, hey, we're here to sign and all that. And they're like, oh, we're sorry. We gave your apartment away. Christina, we walk out of the place. I'll never forget it. We walk out of the apartment manager's office or whatever it is. Immediately, she just bawling because yes. We worked so hard. We'd been to all these properties.
Yeah.
Nobody really fit the bill except for this one complex. And so she's like, what are we going to do? And we're supposed to move shortly. And we did the whole search and this is what we came up with. And now it's like, we got nothing.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because, and I don't know why I was thinking about this yesterday, but that single setback literally changed the whole trajectory of our lives.
Yeah.
Because what that meant is we ended up having to look for apartments. We ended up in a place very different in Chicagoland. The place that we ended up was just down the street, was one of the most influential churches in the country. Mm. And then we only knew one person in Chicago. He went to that church. He helped us move in and he said, hey, there's a service tonight. You guys want to join me? We go to it. We end up getting plugged in. We ended up, you know, getting invited to a staff position and we made friends with some of the upper level leadership and all that. Wow. And that ended up really paving the way for a million different things.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. All because this thing that had my wife in tears.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, so again, but taking that and saying, God, I trust you in faith, keep moving forward, keep being obedient and not being all defeated and like it's game over and all
that
stuff. So,
and I love that. I love how God works because my wife and I have a similar story.
Oh, is that right?
I really built our faith when we were even on our way to Detroit,
right?
And it's those moments that they feel so scary, right?
Yeah.
But they really build your faith as you look back on them,
that's
how
right.
God will provide and make a way.
That's right.
So
one question on the whole calling thing. So Detroit, though, like was it you're sitting there praying and you know God's calling you to plant and he says Detroit? Or is there a story about Detroit or is it just God put Detroit for some reason on your heart? Like where did Detroit come from?
Yeah, literally as I'm sitting in that car, just having a conversation with God, and really I wasn't even speaking, just letting God speak to me. Just the city of Detroit was put on my heart. I can't explain it. Wasn't like I heard the audible voice of God. Just feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to me, the city of Detroit. I'm calling you to plant a church there.
Okay.
And so at the time we knew no one in Detroit, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd never been to Detroit. I had never been in the state of Michigan, right? or anywhere near the state of Michigan. So, for me, it was just like, wait, what? You know, it was so out of nowhere, but
I'll come back to the move then to Michigan in a second. So in that moment, God said, hey, you've been moving too fast and not taking enough time to listen. And I got you sitting in this car and this, you know, for 6 hours and you got nothing to do but listen in a sense.
Yeah.
You're like a fast mover. You're going. I mean, you've got you're high energy.
Yeah.
You're. So have you had times since that time where you've been like, okay, I got to slow down a little bit more to listen to the voice of God. I mean, is that a thing that you go, I have to be real intentional about that? And if so, what's
Absolutely.
It look like?
Absolutely. And I think so often, you know, I don't know if there's pastors out here listening right now, but I think for pastors especially, one of the things that we'll end up doing is we will end up using the time that we're ministering to people as an excuse to say, well, you know, I've been ministering to people. I don't really have time for that right now, right? And in my time in ministry, one of the things I had to figure out early on was like, there's a big difference between me pouring out and then being filled up, right? And so, yes, I've got to pour out, but you can't pour out what you haven't also been poured into, right? And so I learned that early on in ministry. And so, there's a big difference between ministering to people and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Mm-hmm. And so I have to be very intentional with that. Just a practical example. I remember when I first started preaching, like when I got into student ministry and, I'd be like, wow, look at me. I was in God's word a lot this week, but it was in preparation for a sermon to speak to others. Right. And I just remember, a pastor in my life really challenging me with that, saying, hey, that was for others. You haven't spent any time in God's work this week, in God's word this week just for you, right? And so that's something that I try to do on a practical basis is going, okay, this time that I'm prepping, and of course God's going to speak to you as you're preparing a sermon and things like that, but this is time that I'm investing in God's word to pour out into other people's lives. And then I have intentional time where I go, okay, God, speak to me. What is it that you want to speak to me today? And then having a separate time and getting in God's word just, you know, to fill myself up.
Yeah, that's so good. And even though people in ministry might have that temptation of, oh, I spent time in message prep, or I did this, right, or that, like where they might be tempted to think that did the trick or something.
Right. Right.
But honestly, the importance of the discipline of pulling away, whether you're a parent, a corporate leader, whatever, I mean, the reason why I feel like I have so much to talk about with people in other kinds of leadership roles and things like that is all of us feel the weight of leadership.
Yes.
All of us are dealing with how do we serve our staff teams well? How do we, and for us, how do we serve the people who are part of our church as well?
Right.
For somebody else, it might be, how do I serve my customers well?
Right.
And that all takes a ton of energy.
Yes, it does.
It takes a ton of wisdom. And so I just, like, I don't want anybody hearing us talk think, well, of course, he's got to spend time listening to God. I mean, he's a right. pastor. My right. gosh, it feels like a kind of a prereq. But right. it is. But I would say it's the same thing is true. If I'm going to be a good dad.
Yes.
If I'm going to lead a company, if I'm going to do a podcast, whatever yes. it is. I've got to abide so that then what's coming out of me as a leader, as a manager, as a parent
yeah.
is coming from good, deep places that are informed by the Holy Spirit.
That's exactly
and not
right.
just me like making it happen. Yeah. So anyway, I think that's a great example.
I think also as leaders, we have to discern the different relationships that we have in our lives, right? There, especially as a pastor, there are people that we are pouring into, right? And then we have to be intentional. And this is one of the reasons why my wife and I are just so grateful for you and your wife is because we've had the opportunity to walk with you guys with along with other pastors to be filled up, mm-hmm. right? And you know, that's one of the first things that we learn in scripture is that it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
And one of the things I heard another pastor say this recently, which I thought was brilliant, was he was saying that that's one of the first things we learn in scripture. It's not good for man to be alone. And when that was said, Adam had never sinned. Hmm. He was walking in the perfect will of God at that time.
Right.
And God still said it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
We now live in a fallen, sinful world. So how much more so
that's a great point.
We need to be in relationship, being filled up with right others and by God as well.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, and it just speaks to, I mean, it's very hard to live a significant life, to move in the direction God's called you to, without a team around you, without yes. people that are in your corner, and you need to, of course, be in their corner. It needs
absolutely
to be a
right.
mutual thing. It's not right. just like, hey, everybody, I'm doing a big thing. Get
right.
on my corner. It's,
right.
it's like, how do I root for other people? That's yes. what Christina and I try to do, but boy, yeah. it's...
And we've
it's,
been on the receiving end of that. We're yeah. so grateful.
But and vice versa. We've gone through some different challenges along the way in our journey, and man, it's been encouraging, powerful, helpful, necessary.
Yes.
When you guys have been able to pray for us, encourage us, and just remind mm-hmm. us like God's doing something. There's a bigger picture here.
Right.
And all that. So yeah. you've got the calling to come to Detroit. He's spoken to you. You're like, that's it. You eventually have conversations, obviously, on the church side of things. You're like,
yes.
this is where we're going. But when it comes to the actual, because you guys did church planning a little bit differently than we would honestly recommend to people.
Yeah.
Normally,
and we didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know? We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah. So that's what's so fun about this. Because normally we're like, okay, there are these different organizations that are great to walk with. There's
right.
Stadia, there's Association of Related Churches.
Yeah.
You'd like to have this kind of funding model in place. And all
right.
this.
Right.
You guys are like, it's like Abrahamic. It's Genesis 12. He says go. I guess you knew a little bit more than Abraham because
yeah, yeah.
you knew Detroit.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
But outside of that, it was basically go to Detroit. So take me through.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what happened? You said go to Detroit. So, you just like pack your stuff up and.
So let me back up just a little bit
yeah.
before the move. So. So July 2nd, 2017, God puts the city of Detroit on my heart to plant a church, right? And I began to share that with my wife. Like I said, my father, we began praying about it. And my wife during this whole time was just like, there's no way we're ever doing this, right? Like we've been shown so much favor and blessing here at this church. Like, let's just stay here, you know? And I felt so strongly what God had spoken to me. And during that time, I had the opportunity to hear a pastor that came to speak to our staff. And I believe that God used him to speak to me. And he had planted a church here in the States, but it was from Australia.
Okay.
And he shared a little bit of his story. And he talked about how, you know, God called him here. He felt very passionate. And my ears were, you know, perking up because like I had just received this calling that God put on my life. And so, but I remember he said, I knew that I couldn't move until God put a peace on my wife's heart about that, because I didn't want to feel like she felt like she was being dragged somewhere. And I knew that God is can provide peace for all of us, right? So he said, God, would you give peace to my wife before I move? And so when I heard that, I was just like, that's the way that I've got to navigate this season. So I said, okay, God, I'm not going to go until you give peace to my wife. I'm trusting that you will do that, right? And so like, all right, God, would you give her peace? You know, we talk about it every once in a while. She's like, we're not doing it. You know, we're not going.
Yeah.
And I remember it started to weigh on us a little bit. So we made the decision to start going to Christian counseling. And so every Friday morning, we had our six-year-old daughter at the time. She was like just an infant. So we'd put her in the car seat. We'd go into this office, and we had this awesome Christian counselor. Every Friday morning, we'd go there, and we'd just talk about Detroit.
Hmm.
And I'm over here on one end of the spectrum going, we're going to do this. It's going to be awesome. And my wife's like, no way. We're never doing that, right? Hmm. And there was no budge, and we were doing that every single Friday. And so about a year into that, right, is at the beginning of 2019, the counselor was like, you guys need to go on a trip together to Detroit and see the city.
Because neither of you have still been to Detroit at this point?
At that point, I had been one time. I took a trip with my twin brother because my wife was, I was like, I really want to go and see the city.
She's like, you can waste your time.
She's like, you go by yourself, go with your brother. So I went with my twin brother. We came, and man, I just felt such a peace at that time. And that was in 2018 when I went on that trip with my brother. And
this counselor's got some good advice.
Love. Yeah, and I fell in love with the city of Detroit. And I'm like, Emily, you got to see it. You know, you got to come and meet the people. It's awesome. And so then the counselor said, hey, it's time for you guys to go together, right? And so that evening we got to Detroit, we're in this little rental car, we're driving around, and I just Googled like church near me, and it was a Sunday evening, and I was like, what does church in Detroit look like, right? So we went to this church, and God just starts speaking to my wife in this service, right? And so we're driving through downtown Detroit on Woodward Avenue, and I see my wife after this church service crying in the passenger seat, and I'm like, oh no, what's going on? You know, does she hate it here? What's going on?
Yeah.
And I was like, hey babe, are you okay? And that's where she said, you know, I have such a peace in my heart now that this is where God's called us to.
Wow.
We're not just going to plant a church here, we're going to plant our family here. And that's what's taken place. Mm. And so we went back to Texas after that trip, shortly after, had the opportunity to meet with our senior pastor and his wife, and just told them, you know, hey, this is what God has put on our heart about the city of Detroit. And so with their blessing, which was very important to us, mm-hmm. with their blessing, we ended up a few months later stepping out of the staff. My last day on staff there was July 2nd of 2019, which just so happened to be 2 years to the day that God had called me to Detroit.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
And so I remember during that season, we hadn't prepared anything for this, you know, new church that we were going to be planting. We felt like we wanted to be all in where we were, and we knew that God still had us there for a reason. So we were faithfully serving on the staff there. Mm-hmm. And so once we had our first, our last day on staff rather there, that's when we began to start working towards Motor City Church. And so I wake up on July 3rd, 2019, and I'm like no longer on staff at this other church, and here I am. I'm a church planter now. I'm like, what does that even mean, right?
Did they send you out with any funding or financing, or was it
No. At the time, they were doing a building fund and things like that, and so we didn't have any funding or anything like that.
So you've got no job.
They got no job, and we have no idea what we're doing, right? So, but I want to share this quick story just because it meant so much to me. So that morning, I go to a Starbucks early in the morning. I'm like, God, what am I doing? You know? And I began journaling, right? And at the end of this journal entry, this is my first day as I'm now a pastor of Motor City Church, which we didn't even have the name for it yet. Yeah. And I'm just journaling, God. I put two things at the end of this journal entry. I said, God, would you introduce me to the people that I need to know, and would you help us financially? Okay. I mean, I know nothing about church planting. That evening, I ended up getting a message on Facebook because we were selling a bunch of our belongings on Facebook Marketplace, preparing to move to Detroit. And this guy said, hey, could I meet you? I would like to purchase all the mirrors that you have for sale. And I'm like, okay, wow, swear, there we go. Hey. Cha-ching, let's go.
Yeah.
And this was like 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, this is how every scary movie starts, but let's meet them up, you know, this storage complex. So sell them the mirrors.
Were you like, we prefer dark, dingy places, back alley would be great, something like that. Yeah.
So we meet them up, and so I ended up once again, this is July 3rd, my first day, no longer on staff at the other church and us planting a church, still in Fort Worth, preparing to make the move. And so I meet him, and the gentleman was with his wife. He said, "Hey, if you don't mind me asking, why are you selling all these mirrors?" And in my head, I'm like, what does it matter to you? Mm-hmm. You know, why are you asking me this? You got the mirrors, I got the cash, we're good to go. Holy Spirit was like, tell them your story. And I'm like, come on, God, it's 10:30 at a storage unit. I don't even know these people. Mm-hmm. God's like, tell them your story. So I said, we're actually about to move to Detroit. And they're like, Detroit, why are you moving there? And I was like, we're going to start a church. And they started to ask us all these questions. And at the end of the conversation, the wife said, you know, my husband's a pastor. And I'm like, wow. No way. And and so I said, what church are you a part of? And he tells me the church. And I was like, oh, cool, man. What do you do there? He's like, oh, I'm the senior pastor. And I was like, it's a church that's very well known in that area. And I'm like, what is he doing here? You know,
right.
me picking up these mirrors or whatever. And he said, you know, I think that our church could help you financially. And he goes, I know a lot of people in the church planting world. And he goes, I want to introduce you to some people that you need to know. Wow. And so that same day, I had just journaled, God, help us financially. And God, would you introduce us to some people that we need to know? And here's this pastor that same day saying, I think we could help you financially. And here's the people that you need to know. And God doesn't always answer our prayers like that, the same day and like that. But for us, it just built our faith going, okay, day one, like God is in this and he's going to make a way, you know?
It's cool when God gives you stories like that. I mean, everything from the clarity of your calling and moments like this with this guy, the mirror buyer guy, pastor, because when you're later on, and maybe you're wired that once you hear a call, you don't get thrown with difficulty, but you guys, as we'll get to in a minute, you guys have, I mean, you're starting close to COVID time.
Right.
It turns into quite a journey, to say the least.
Yeah.
And so it's just great that God was so gracious to give you these unique experiences.
Moments
where
to
you
look
can
back
say,
on.
Yeah, I know that I know that I know.
Yes.
That I heard him. I'm supposed to be here.
Yes.
And I can kind of like take that to the bank.
Yeah.
So then when I'm getting my butt handed to me with some of these other experiences, I'm like, but I'm just being faithful, God, because you're the one who got us here in the first place.
That's right.
Okay, so that's all still in Texas.
Yeah.
And then you guys pack it up.
So we pack everything up.
Move.
We take a few months to prepare, right?
Okay.
We set up all of the legalities and everything for the church, and we're doing all of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And trying to raise funds. You know, at the time, I'm still, you know, without an income, mm-hmm. you know, without a salary or anything like that. And so we're starting to see our bank account dwindle down to nothing, you know? And then we made the decision to move in October. So like October 15th, 2019, we move to Detroit. And, you know, you shared your story of being on the way and all that kind of stuff. So at the time, we had a daughter who was 2. My wife was also pregnant with our middle child now. And so we've got this little U-Haul trailer, and we pray, we get in the car, and we make the 1,500-mile journey to Detroit. About halfway to Detroit, like you mentioned, like we were just broke, right?
Yeah.
We had nothing. And we had signed a lease at an apartment here in Detroit, sight unseen, right? We're just like, well, we don't have the funds to go see it,
right?
So we sign it. And the reason why we signed there was because they were doing a special first month free. And we're like, that sounds good to us.
Yeah, fits the budget,
Yeah. So halfway to Detroit, they called. They're like, hey, we're expecting you. And they were like, the only problem is we haven't received your first month. And we're like, oh, you know, first month free. And they're like, oh, we just say that, but really it's on the back end. You know, you just don't pay your last month. And we were like, we don't have the money for this. Like, what are we going to do?
Gosh.
So we're like halfway to Detroit. I'm like, listen, like, we're going to be homeless. You know,
right.
I'm like, ma'am, please, you know? And she's like, well, I don't know if we can make this happen. Long story short, they were able to make it happen, and God made a way. But it's just those moments you look back on, and it's just like, man, where it seems like there's no way, God just keeps making a way. And that's really been the story of Motor City Church. You know, we take absolutely no credit for this thing. It's been a God story the whole way. So we got here in October 15th of 2019, and the first day we're here, kind of just my personality. I'm like, let's get started, you know? So while we're unpacking boxes, I look over at my wife and I'm like, hey, let's have our first interest night. Let's start building a team for the church. And she's like, cool, what do you think? And maybe January or February. Keep in mind, we know 0 people in the state of Michigan at the time.
Although knowing your personality, it's not going to take long before you know a few, I think.
So we're like, all right, let's do an interest. And I was like, let's do November 1st. It was a Friday night. She's like, that's like 13 days from now. Mm-hmm. She's like, we don't even know anyone. I'm like, let's do it. So we print these like flyers that we made like from my phone, you know, and we just start walking around downtown Detroit. We rented a venue and we're just meeting people in downtown. Hey, I heard there's this awesome church starting. You should check it out. You'll love the pastor, you know. And so we're just like passing out these invite cards. And November 1st, 2019, we had our first interest night at a cool venue in Detroit called Jador Detroit. Okay. And 13 people showed up.
Okay.
And we were just blown away.
Yeah.
But I remember that night just casting vision for our church and what God had put on our heart. The vision statement of our church is we say we exist to see people encounter and live out a relationship with Jesus. So we want to see people have an encounter and experience salvation, mm-hmm. but we also want to see them live that out, right? Sanctification, becoming more like Jesus every day through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm giving this big vision, you know, I'm like, I know there's only 13 of us in here, but man, we're going to go out and we're going to evangelize. We're going to reach this city. And I feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I was speaking, you know, give people the opportunity to respond to the gospel tonight. Hmm. And as I started to have conversations with people after, I started to realize there were many people in the room, about half of them, so maybe seven people, but like, hey, they didn't know Christ. Hmm. They weren't believers. They just came to this interest night for this new church because they were looking for community. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like God put it on our heart. Don't wait until you launch on a Sunday to start ministry. Start ministry now. Wow. So we started seeing people getting saved on Friday nights as we were having interest night. We started to build some momentum, and what was 13 turned into 20 and then 30 and then 40. And then all of a sudden, we heard the news about this thing called COVID.
Yeah.
And so we ended up having to move everything online, and that was tough, you know, because we were just building momentum. We were new in the city, and everything, you know, really went into a lockdown.
Right.
And the big thing was like, don't go out, don't meet with people. And it's like, that's kind of why we're here,
right.
You know? And so it made a lot
of Detroit
that
was
difficult.
Even, I think Eastside and definitely Detroit was even more of the lockdown mindset than we felt over here. We had it over here, but I think you guys
for sure
lasted longer and was more kind of, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. And so we really felt that God was still calling us to launch in September of 2020. And so I remember actually there was a pastor that called me and he said, hey, and he was over a church planting network. And he said, hey, I know that you guys are planning on launching a church. And he goes, we had 30 churches that were planning to launch the same month that you are. And he's like, all of them except six are no longer launching. Mm-hmm. And he said, those other six are only launching online. Mm-hmm. And I was like, are we making a mistake? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know? But I really felt God put it on our heart. Move forward, right? And so we launched September 20th of 2020 on Sunday mornings, right in the heart of downtown Detroit. Mm-hmm. And even getting to that moment was such a God story. We currently, even to this day, we meet in a CrossFit gym. So we're full on set up and tear down, you know, each and every weekend, turning a CrossFit gym into a church. And God has been so faithful along the way. But we were supposed to launch the church at a venue there called the Garden Theater. And long story short, because of COVID, they backed out, right? And we had a backup plan, which we were going to meet at a local high school. So we called them. We're like, hey, we're going to meet there after all. And they were like, no, you're not.
Right.
And none of our schools in the city of Detroit are going to be open for use like that. So I spent a long time just calling people and no doors were being opened. And so I decided I'm going to fast and pray about this. So I went 7 days, didn't eat. And I'm just praying, God, help us find a venue. Like, we're just like 2 months away from the launch of this church and we don't have a place to meet. Mm-hmm. And at the end of this fast, I felt like I still didn't have an answer. Everyone kept saying no, that we were reaching out to and asking. And my wife said, what if we met at that CrossFit gym? Because they had a lobby space there that we had been using for some interest nights.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? That's just crazy enough. It might work. So the next morning, I went to the CrossFit class to work out. The owner just so happened to be there. And he said, hey, Shockey, have you found a place to meet for your church yet? And I was like, no, not yet. And he goes, you guys should meet here. And I'm like, actually,
he's not a believer. Yeah,
no. We're still praying that he's going to. If you're watching this podcast, we're still believing that you're going to bow the knee. But so he's been so good to us, you know, and allowed us to use the space. To this day, we don't have a contract with him or anything. It was a handshake deal. Mm-hmm. He's like, man, treat this place like you own it. And so we've treated the place like we own it.
Oh, that's amazing. And so the past you would years, never know it's like a CrossFit place when you walk in there on a Sunday.
It's awesome.
It's crazy that you guys do great work. Yeah.
Awesome. And you know what's so cool about that story too is, once again, you run into these obstacles in your life and you're like, why are we going through this, right? But now we look at our story and we go, that's exactly why we went through that, was because there are many people who have come to our church, gotten saved and baptized, and now are serving in the church and impacting their sphere of influence because of where the church was. Mm-hmm. We have people who tell us all the time, I wasn't even looking for a church, but because of the proximity, I lived in the building next door or down the street, I saw you guys and I was curious and I came. And had we been in the other venue that we wanted to be in, they wouldn't even have known we existed. And so we see, you know, as we look back at just how God orchestrates all these different things. And, you know, one of my favorite things about my wife and I's relationship is, you know, we grew up together and we've just been through so many different situations and circumstances. And so now anytime we run into an obstacle or a difficulty in our lives, we just go, okay, there's about to be something awesome on the other side of this if we're just faithful and obedient through it.
That's a great takeaway too. Just in those moments, like, you know, we use that term sometimes around here, activating faith. And you can have a hardship or a setback and you can take it as, oh my gosh, this is just going to be the end of us and all that.
Yeah.
And it really does take, in my mind at least, it takes an intentional choice to say, in this moment where I feel like we're dead.
Yeah.
I am going to activate my faith.
That's
I am going to apply my faith.
Yep.
Like what you're saying, and to me, this is a great place to be at when it's so reflexive, like that muscle of faith, that it doesn't even have to be this massive intentional decision anymore.
Yeah.
It's just what I do. I see a tough thing happen and I go, oh, I guess God's got a different way to do it. I think
that's
it takes some practice to get to that place though. And for a while, for many of us, it'll like, okay, I'm choosing to activate my faith.
Yeah. And it's like you said, it's a muscle. The more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Yeah.
Right. And then your trust grows. My trust in God has grown so much since we've moved here and started Motor City Church, because time and time again, where I go, there's no way this is going to happen, God goes, I'll show you. I'm still the way maker.
Yeah.
You know, and you just continue to be obedient. You get to see that. You know, everyone wants to have a testimony. No one wants to go through the test.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And so it's leaning into those moments going, okay, God, I'm trusting that even where I don't see a way, that you've already gone before us and that you've already made the way.
It is crazy. All the stories, movies, all that stuff we love, comeback stories.
Yes.
I mean, all of us, like, we watch them and we're like, oh my goodness, this is so powerful. And it gets me fired up and all that stuff. But I mean, if you really said, if I had to go through that in order to tell that kind of story, sometimes, honestly, I'm glad that sometimes the way God kind of does it is like, I don't have an option. I've got to keep moving in the direction He's called me to move. Because I mean, I think sometimes when it gets tough, you just want to bounce. And some people do. And then they miss the story that God could tell, which is really, really tragic.
Right.
I think God's gracious and He's going to give you another opportunity.
Right.
You're naturally wired to be just optimistic, forward thinking, all that. Are there some times that you've had it where through this journey where you do get like just super disheartened, or are you just wired for, okay, it's tough, but that's all right. God's got a better thing coming. You know, I mean, do you ever just go, this is terrible, I want to give up, or not?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the people that you surround yourself with, you know? And I remember many of moments where at the beginning, you know, calling you and calling some of the other pastor friends that we have and just going, hey, here's the situation that I'm in right now, and just feeling so hopeless, you know? And I remember some of the most encouraging words that you even spoke over me was like, yeah, we went through that too.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
I just thought it was me. You know, I thought I was the worst leader ever, right? And then you get to hear other people's stories and their testimony of like, I went through that. Keep going. Keep being faithful to God. Keep being obedient. Keep doing what He's called you to do, and He will make a way, right? And so I think that's really that has kept us going is hearing other people's stories like yours and others.
It's funny because, just a few days ago, Pastor Rob Ketterling was here and we were talking about church stuff, and he talked about, I said, Rob, tell me about just, you know, we talked about some of the victories and cool things that God's done at River Valley. But then I said, tell me about some of the things that are just like, this was just hard.
Right.
And one, he just rattles off this list that you're floor, your jaw's kind of on the floor just hearing him say this stuff.
Right.
But he's like, oh, and then of course there's the church mutiny, and he just keeps going on in his list. And it's funny how many like mutinies or uprising stories now I've heard.
Yeah.
So then I'm on the phone, I think it was yesterday, with, do you know the name Derwin Gray? He's a pastor at Transformation Church, but not the the Transformation Church okay. that Michael Todd's at, a different Transformation okay. Church. I think they're in North Carolina. And Derwin's got a great story. He used to play pro football and called ministry and all this.
Awesome.
So I'm on the phone with Derwin, and we're talking about a variety of things. And we were talking about some staffing things that he went through.
Yeah.
Where there was, you know, big kind of kerfuffle. And he said, yeah, I was talking to Rick Warren about this.
Yeah.
Now, first off, come on. I was talking with Rick Warren.
Right.
All right. Okay. I see what you did there.
That's
thank
a little
you.
Name drop.
Yeah. Thank you, Derwin. I got you. All right.
Yeah. I heard he wrote a book or something.
Yeah. Did Rick who? So he's like, I was talking to Rick Warren about this. And Rick's like, Derwin, you've survived your first church mutiny. You're a real pastor now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, this is crazy. No, I had 3 years in seminary that was incredible education and all that stuff. Never once did I hear about, oh, just be ready. If you're a lead pastor, a church planter, you're probably going to have a mutiny, uprising, coup experience. Larry Osborne, he writes about it in his book, you know, where they have he's got a whole story about
right.
it. Anyway, all these things that like come your way, and then you got to have voices from the outside. I guess that's what made me think of this, is you saying you have voices from the outside that go, oh yeah.
Yeah, because at the moment you think you're the only one. That's only ever one.
You think, what's wrong with me? And all, and this feels like it's going to be the end.
Right.
And then somebody from the outside says, oh, no, no, we've been through that. Yeah. Yeah. Those voices are so good. And that's where it's so important to get good people around you.
Absolutely.
And in those moments, not to like, I don't know if somebody wrote about this, but I've heard this phrase like somebody had a turtle shell in them, like they get it inside. And you can't do that. And there is a temptations for some to go, I want to hide. And you can't hide. You got to reach out in those moments.
Yeah, you can't isolate yourself.
No, right. Yeah. We need people. When you think about, you've already talked about a couple of them. When you think about a couple of moments for you that were like the biggest faith stretcher, oh my goodness, how are we going to make this? Like, what would come to mind for you?
Probably the transition, the final 2 months prior to launching the church, mm-hmm. right? Like I said, there was this huge moment where it was like so much unknown, right? It's like we knew one thing, we're launching on September 20th. We knew nothing else, mm-hmm. where we're going to be or anything like that. At the time we had hired, who's now our associate pastor, Pastor Eric Thede, a great friend of mine. And so I remember thinking, you know, we had just got the building for CrossFit, and we're mm-hmm. like, okay, we got a space now, right? It's just filled with weights. Doesn't look like a church or anything like that. We don't even own a chair. We don't own a microphone or anything. And a friend of ours, Pastor John Pomeroy, came over, and he has a background. He's also a church planter, and he had a background in setting up different spaces. And so him and his team come over, and they look at the CrossFit gym, and they're like, I think you could turn this into a church. I was like, good, because it's the only place we got, you know? And he said, hey, the budget is $104,000. And I'm like, I got like a week and a half to raise that because we got to purchase it and get it here and, you know, all of that. And so I was like, how are we going to do this, right? And isn't it funny how that's always our natural instinct? How are we going to do this? It's like, God, right? The next day, Pastor Eric and I, and we had just taken a step of faith to hire him. He's our worship leader to this day, our associate pastor. And we took a step of faith and hired him. And his phone rings his second day on staff with us. And he said, it was a pastor friend of his who hadn't called him in 10 years. And he said, hey, I heard that you're back in the state of Michigan, because he's originally from Michigan. He said, yeah, we're here. And he said, hey, this is so random. And he's like, I apologize if I'm bothering you with this. But he said, the church that I'm a part of, we had to shut down a campus. We've got a 30-foot trailer full of equipment to start a church. He's like, do you know of anyone that would need something like that? And we're like, what?
Unreal. Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, that's how God works. And so they give us the price, you know, which was significantly less than $104,000, but we still didn't even have that. Mm-hmm. And then that was around the time that Ngeti Church mm-hmm. Stepped up and really blessed us. And we used those funds to purchase the equipment that we needed, and we launched the church on time. And so it's just all of those
crazy
different stories of how God works, right? That's
so
why
cool.
I say we take no credit, no glory for any of this. It's been him the whole way.
Well, and I obviously for all of us, we're going to be like, it's all God. He does stuff that is just mind blowing.
Yeah.
In the midst of all that, you're being faithful.
Obedient.
I mean, when I think about the percentage of like, how much weight does God shoulder versus us?
Yeah.
Obviously God is shouldering the weight here. Yeah. But we got to be faithful with our little part, which feels a lot of times like a big part.
Right.
I don't remember how we even connected, but I just remember that when we first connected, like I said, well, we were trying a Sunday night service that time.
Yes.
And you're like, well, I'll drive over. And you know, you just had like, that's where you saw in your heart, you've got that sense of hustle where you're like, yeah. I'm going to build relationships. I'm going to make connections, and who knows what God does with it. But yeah. that turned out to be a good, and I'm
it
like,
turned out,
come
yeah,
over for dinner afterwards. And you came over for dinner and we talked for hours and it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Pastor John Pomeroy made the connection for me because I didn't know you at the time.
Yeah.
And I was preaching at a church in Kalamazoo. We hadn't launched on Sundays yet. So Pastor Dan Smith reached out, who you know, and he was like, hey, will you come and preach here? And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And John found out that I was preaching over there. And he said, hey, after the service, he's like, and Getty Church has a Sunday night service now. He's like, you need to know Pastor Brian. He's like, just make the drive from Kalamazoo to Holland. And I was like, okay. Yeah. So I did. And I walked in and you were preaching that evening. And then after you came up and you were like, hey, let's get dinner.
Yeah.
And I was like, awesome. And that's when we first connected.
Yeah, I probably knew at one point, but I didn't realize that whole chain of events that led to that's again relationships. I mean relationships.
Yeah.
And man, it was of course for us, like you're visiting at a time we're trying something new, which we ended up not continuing with that service. And I just think it's a great, here we are like way down the line from where you are. You are literally just getting into the starting mode.
Yeah.
We've been up for a while.
Right.
We've got a big facility, all these different things.
Yeah.
But still trying to take risks, trying to do new stuff.
Yeah.
Some of it's going to work, some of it's not. And
you
came to
I'm glad
that
you were doing it.
You came to something that didn't work.
It opened up the door for us to meet.
So God used it.
Otherwise, I don't know how we would have met.
Yeah. Cause sometimes I'm like, wow, God, that was not my favorite memory is coming back and doing service.
It might've been tough for you, but I'm glad it happened because it opened the door.
I'll say thank you, Lord, that we did that Sunday night experiment. If all it led to was our relationship and being able to help Motor City.
You blessed
City
a lot of people in Detroit through it. So,
you've had some really cool things come up lately. So real briefly, as I understand it, and you can help me out on this, for a while, there wasn't really a whole lot of growth. Like you were just kind of steady, right? So maybe take us through a little bit of just the numerical side and like where you were at and then just the shift and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So September 20th of 2020, on our launch day, we had 114 people. And the following Sunday, I think that we had somewhere probably around 60. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, okay, that is not much growth here, you know?
Yeah.
And so really the first 2 years, so Motor City Church is back in September, so a few months back, we celebrated our three-year church anniversary. So we're 3 years old as a church. And really the first 2 years of our church, we never went over 100, except for maybe a couple of services on Easter. Mm-hmm. So we really hovered around that 60, 70, 80 number, even up until, you know, the point we were 2 years old. We came back in January of 2023. The first weekend back, we had like 100 people. And we were like, whoa, this is crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. And the following week was like 130. And then the following week was like 150. And we've just seen so much growth over the past, year at Motor City Church. And God's been faithful. And I really look back now and everyone's like, well, how did you guys see so much growth over the past year? And I think it's just us being faithful in the time that we weren't seeing as much growth, you know? And so this past Sunday, we saw another attendance record. We had 479 people.
Oh, that's awesome.
Had 10 baptisms on Sunday. And really all we've been doing is just being faithful. You know, God has brought people in. And I think during that season, I went through a lot of pruning myself, right? Really questioning a lot of things about myself and leadership because I came from a massive church, right? Mm-hmm. Probably top 20 largest churches in America. And so you're used to seeing thousands and thousands of people every weekend.
And you had a pretty blessed journey within that church too. It wasn't just the church itself, but it felt like things came pretty easy as far as all things considered.
Yeah, leadership gave us a lot of favor and really blessed us. And so it came very easily, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was during that season that God was really pruning me in that season. Like, will you do it for the one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm still the same God that left the 99 for the one, you know? So for those first 2 years, it was just like, okay, God, I'm going to be faithful, whether there's one person in the building or however many, you know, I'm going to be faithful to that one person. Mm-hmm. And God pruned so much off of me in that season.
Wow.
And yeah, I'm very thankful for that, you know, and God's still pruning me, and he'll continue to do that till the day I die,
right.
You know?
Yeah, that's, the journey
that's
never
that sanctification
stops.
Process.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, when you look back at things starting to grow in January, there is no real secret sauce thing that was like, oh, that's when we started doing this or that. It was just all of a
sudden.
We kept
doing what we were doing.
Yeah.
We did have the opportunity to bring on a couple of other staff members that have been such a blessing. We brought on an admin and communications director, which took a lot of the day-to-day stuff that I was having to do off my plate, but and then brought in an awesome connections pastor, Pastor Matt Guerin. He's doing awesome things, but really, we just were doing the same thing. We're just being faithful, being obedient, and really, I think part of it too is, you know, in the city of Detroit, there's a lot of like flash in the pan, like somebody pops up and then they're gone, you know? And I think for us, as we've remained faithful, we've been in the same location and we've just said, hey, here we are. You know, we say all the time, you know, not everyone in the city of Detroit is going to show up to Motor City Church, but we just want to know that we want them to know that we're here.
Yeah.
If you're hurting, if you're broken, if you're lost, this is where you can come to find, you know, the answer. And we believe his name is Jesus. And so we've just continued to do that. We said, hey, here we are. You know, we're open to anyone and everyone show up. And God's been faithful and been bringing them in.
It's cool to see, obviously, God be faithful. It's cool to see you guys demonstrate that faithfulness through just continuing to steady week in, week out. You're not seeing, you're not sitting there walking away going, oh my goodness, you know, just this blew us away, this whatever happened necessarily. Like God was doing good things. And our first 3 years, we didn't have any growth. I mean, it was slight negative growth, but basically it was just a flat line.
But and you learn so much in that process, don't you?
And I do think one of the biggest things was, and the church grew internally in different ways.
Right.
But
right.
I will say one of the biggest things that's happening is how you're growing as a leader and, and all that. And it's been cool that over the last few months, you've had a couple of opportunities to where the newspapers reached out and said,
Motor City Church was on Channel 7 News recently a couple of times.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's just, you look at these stories and you're just like, okay, like, man, when am I going to get it in here?
Yeah.
Like, man, just trust God, you know? I went on a social media fast a while back and I just felt like there was still something that needed to be pruned from me that I was still going, you know, if this place is going to grow, I got to do it, you know? And I just felt like the Holy Spirit was like, get off of social media. You think you're the one doing this, right? And I was like, okay. So I got off social media. I was no longer posting about anything about the church or anything like that. Literally the next day, a gentleman approaches me at the gym and he's like, hey, you lead Motor City Church? He's like, I heard about what you guys are doing. I want to feature you guys on primetime Channel 7 News and share the story of what God is doing. And then I'm just like,
wow,
what am I doing?
Yeah, you know.
Here I am thinking I'm the one that's got to make the way.
Right.
It's like we have access to the ultimate way maker. And it's like, the more that I can learn to just trust, you know, get out of the way, he's the one that will make the way.
Yeah, it's so good. Well, Josh, just knowing you has been a huge encouragement to me. I love your spirit. I love what God's doing in Motor City, but I love what God's doing in you, man. And it's just every time I'm with you, I feel like I'm lifted up. I feel like my faith is both. It's this is good. It's both encouraged and challenged at the same time. And that to me is a great. A great effect that you can have on me, and I'm sure many others as well. Yeah. We pray for Motor City. Obviously, we've had the privilege of being a little bitty part of your story and just feel like it's the hugest honor in the world.
We don't look at it as a little bitty part. You guys played a massive role in helping us.
I'm glad we could, because it's, I mean, when I've shared this with Engedi before, that to me, for us to be a little part, I'll say little, of the journey.
Everyone in our church is like, that's Engedi.
It's just an honor. It really is, and we're rooting for you, and I'm proud of you, and we'll continue to support and root you on. I've had a few people say, when are we going to get Shockey here to preach? I'm working on that, all right? I'm working on that. We got to get you over here to preach. But thanks for being on Made to Advance
today,
bro.
It's an honor. It's such an honor. Yeah, it's cool to see what God's doing in the entire state of Michigan right now.
Amen. So, thanks for being here.
Yes, sir.
Well, I am so grateful that we had the opportunity to hear Josh's story today. Man, I'm just inspired by his faith. I'm inspired by the fact that he has been so consistently obedient. And that's our part. It sometimes feels like a really big part. I think in the big picture, it's a really small part. When we're consistently faithful with what God is calling us to, then all of a sudden God does really the heavy lifting of helping us advance. And that's exactly what we've seen in Josh's life today. So many different examples where He's continued to put one step forward in faithfulness, one foot in front of the other in faithfulness and obedience. And God has met him along the way in all kinds of incredible ways. And I just feel so fortunate to be a part of his story and part of Motor City's story. Well, I hope you've enjoyed content today and this conversation. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you've been inspired. And I want to ask you just a favor. If you could rate and review us, that would be a massive help in getting the word out. If what you heard today was helpful to you, please share it with a friend and let them know about Made to Advance. This has been a production of Engedi Church. We have got more incredible conversations coming your way. And so until next time, just remember, you were made to advance.